At the end of last Sunday night's meeting, somebody said to me, God's wisdom, what does it mean that it's willing to yield? God's wisdom is willing to yield. Because at first reading, you might say, well, if you apply God's wisdom, you just give in. You know, you just yield, you just surrender, you just cede. And it doesn't mean that. What it means is that you are willing to listen. Other scriptures, other translations put it as God's wisdom is willing to listen. If you are someone who is willing, someone who is going to demonstrate godly wisdom, you are someone who is willing to listen to the evidence. By contrast, manly wisdom makes rash decisions, makes decisions that walk over others, makes decisions that takes advantage of others. Man says, I'm making this decision whether you like it or not. I don't care if it hurts. I don't care if you're upset. Tough if you are. Final decision. God's wisdom says, after taking all things into consideration, this is the decision that we're going with. It's not walking over you. It's not pushing. It's a decision made in purity and kindness where peace is the arbiter. Colossians 3:15, let peace rule in your hearts. So when we're talking about with godly wisdom being willing to yield, it's willing to listen. It's a wisdom that is pure and not harsh and rash and hurtful. It listens and takes all things into consideration, prays over things and seeks God's heart over something. Tonight, then, I just want to look at some scriptures from Job 28, which tells us where wisdom is not found, because we need to be clear in our hearts where the source of our wisdom is not, because we live in a society where it is very easy to be influenced by wisdom from the wrong place. So wisdom, thank you very much, Rebecca, you can move on to the next one. Wisdom is not found in men and women. And I've got here, I'm quite clever, I'm quite proud of myself here, because I've got a load of peas. Are you ready for this, Susan? Ruth, yes. Not found amongst philosophers, professors, politicians, preachers, papers, pop stars or princesses. Eh? Do you like that? All beginning with P. Not found with philosophers or professors. See, many people think that they are clever, that they know everything about everything, and therefore we listen to them. And you've got to think of it a minute. Where are we looking at for our source of wisdom? It's not found in politicians. Hopefully I don't need to explain that. It's not found in pop stars. It's not found in princesses. Now, hear me very carefully here when I say this. I'm just making a point, and I've got nothing against the particular person. So I'm going to talk about Meghan Markle now, all right? I love her. I don't hate her. You know, I respect her as a person. It's not what I'm a royalist, you know? If you say, are you a royalist or a Republican, I'm a royalist. I support the royal family, especially the Queen. Not so sure about some of the others, but especially the Queen. So I'm a royalist, all right? But I'm just saying this to illustrate a point. So Meghan Markle, now married to Prince Harry, is it? And she says, I'm now going to become an ambassador for women. I am going to go around the world and talk about women's rights and women's dignity and all this. Fine. Great. Super. I'm all for women's rights. I'm all for women being respected. No problem with that. But just think about this for a minute. And I hope you get my point. I'm not being rude or disrespectful, but I'm just trying to illustrate a point that we cannot take the wisdom of such people. Because where was Meghan Markle a year ago? Working in Hollywood, which sexualized women, that glamorized women. Only a year ago, or less than a year ago, she was appearing in an American television series where she was appearing half naked in a cupboard, having sex with somebody else in the office. And I'd like to tell you about the dignity of women. See, how can we take what some listen to people who really haven't got the authority to talk what they're talking about? So I'm not being rude, I'm not being disrespectful, I'm just trying to help you see that people set themselves up as an authority of giving wisdom about women's rights, but actually it's quite hypocritical, which is one of those standards of man's wisdom. I thought it was ironic that the tabloid press went on how awful it was that Harvey Weinstein was taking advantage of women on page one. Exactly. What he's done is absolutely dreadful. So I found it rather ironic. But then on page three of the tabloid press, what do you find? So page one, isn't it awful that Harvey Weinstein is taking advantage of women? Open the page and... Don't go there, don't go there. But I'm just saying, you just cannot... this is I thought this was a very good article in the week from Yasmin Alabaya Brown. She's somebody who speaks up for women's rights. And okay, and I thought to myself, I couldn't have written it better. What a perfect illustration this is for me on Sunday night. I thought the landslide pro-choice victory in Ireland was seismic. Friends and acquaintances of mine from across the world have been ringing, texting, emailing me, laughing and squealing with delight. Which again is, how can someone laugh and squeal at delight? A terrible thing. But anyway, the tight grip of the authoritarian church has been weakened. And then she goes on to say, women, which really exposes what she's saying, women and girls... for women and girls, this result tells them that by acting collectively, they too can rise up and defy God. And I think that really sort of illustrates what that whole debate about was in Ireland. It wasn't about women's rights at all. It was about standing up and defying God. She don't like the royal family. Well, anyway. But the point I'm making is that we can't take our wisdom from the papers. We can't take our wisdom from princesses or, you know, I won't say about Bob Geldof again, you know. I won't go down there. So I've messed my ear up. Anyway. And dare I say, you can't take wisdom from preachers. And I hope that you do this when you get home, is that you get home and you examine the scriptures and you make sure what I've said is accurate according to the scriptures. Because we need to be careful that even what a church might say, even what we hear at a conference somebody might say, is in line with the wisdom of God. And not being influenced by the wisdom of the day. So wisdom is not found in men and women, politicians or preachers. There. Hear my heart there. I'm not trying to be rude about anybody. You know, I'm not being, you know, I'm not being hateful or anything. I'm just saying for what it is and how I see it. Wisdom is not found in animals or nature. It's not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It's hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. It's not among the animals or amongst nature. It's not in pantheism. In the old days, you know, people might have said, right, we need to connect with our tribal ancestors and connect with the way they connected with Mother Earth. Oh, don't get me on that one again. But often you go to these ecumenical services sometimes where they have prayers to Mother Earth, and perhaps I understand what they're saying, but God is, yes, we see God in nature, but God is not nature. And we don't worship the sea, we don't worship the skies, we don't, you know, and again, we are influenced very much by environmentalism. You know, and there's this whole thing about plastic straws. Don't get me on about that again. And how many 8.5 billion straws we're supposed to have used last year in this country. That means 130 each. I went around the cafe last week, and at every customer I said, how many straws have you used this last year? And they said, I haven't used any. I haven't used any. I couldn't find anybody who had used more than 10. So where all these straws are coming from, I don't know. But the point is, even if there was 8.5 billion straws, it's what we're doing with the straws that's the problem. And really, when you're clearing plastic off the beach, it's not straws you're picking up, it's carrier bags and bits of Lego that have come out of container ships and goodness knows what. So, okay, it might be a problem, but when that problem becomes the focus of your life, then it's a problem. You know, we could sign up as being an eco-church. Did you know there's such things as eco-churches? Do you know what we have to do? We have to commit. The congregation have to commit to coming by foot or by bicycle once a month. They have to commit to reduce using paper leaflets, you know, notices, and commit to using paper leaflets. And they have to commit to local litter picking and cleaning plastics from the environment, and commit to planting some trees. Now, I believe that we should be good stewards of the environment. Don't get me wrong, I've got a recycle bin and I recycle. But when it becomes the focus, we are looking in the wrong place. Godly wisdom, you remember from Proverbs, godly wisdom is the principal thing. Not how many trees we've got to plant, not how many straws we've got to throw up, well, not have, not how many carrier bags we're not using or whatever, although there might be something that might help us in this environment and save a few whales or whatever. You know, don't hear me wrong, but it's the principle of focusing upon that, and that alone, where we need to look at godly wisdom. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth, the sky, through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his external power and divine nature, so that they have no excuse for knowing God. Yet they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise. This is it. Claiming to be wise in their own sight, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshipping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Instead of worshipping God, the creator of the universe, the name which is high above all, people around the world tonight are worshipping snakes, birds, lions, elephants, cows, pigs, looking to see whether its bristles are standing on end or not, whether to find out whether it's going to thunder or not, and rain. But we should worship the true and living God. It's not found amongst the rich. It can't be bought with gold, it can't be purchased with silver, it can't be bought. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than precious oinks or lapses. Lazuli, wisdom. Sounds like a curry house, doesn't it? Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Wisdom cannot be bought. Sometimes someone with a lot of money comes on the scene and says, you've got to do this. You know, we've got all in America, all the people with all the most money are buying the most influence. Well, if you've got a lot of money, you're not necessarily wise. You can be stupid. So wisdom is not found in money. Wisdom is not found amongst the dead. Destruction and death say we've only heard rumours of where wisdom can be found. And again, people are looking towards the dead. Great Auntie Ethel or whoever it might be who has passed away, they go to a seance and they contact her through whatever means they think they're channeling, and they ask her, what wisdom have you got for us, Auntie Ethel? What are we to do? Wisdom is not found in the dead. We can learn from history to make sure we don't make the same mistakes, but wisdom is not found in the dead. But where is God found? God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. The Passion Translation, the Proverbs 9:10 says this. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. The Passion Translation says this. The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe as you worship God. The starting point for all wisdom is to get your focus upon God. And say, well, I'm not listening to the professors, I'm not listening to the politicians, I'm not listening to the papers, the media, to Coronation Street or Emmerdale or any other one that you like. I'm not listening to them, but I'm listening to you, Lord. My standard is not what a political party says. My standard is not what a particular paper says, whether it's The Guardian, the Daily Telegraph, The Mirror or The Sun or anything else. My wisdom is not what they're saying. My wisdom is not what the 10 o'clock news says. My wisdom is not what the latest fad says. My wisdom is not what the UN says. My wisdom is what God says. And I'm looking to you. The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe as you worship God. God's word, both written and living, is wisdom. So God's word, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know that from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise. What do the scriptures do? Are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then all scripture is God-breathed, useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the word of God is something that we can look to that will encourage us and show us what God's word says about a certain situation. Gives us wisdom of how to conduct ourselves. Wisdom as to our way forward. A principle that we can apply to a certain situation. God's word, both written and living, equals wisdom. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. So Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. You're looking at the scriptures trying to find the Messiah. But look, here's the wisdom stood right in front of you. So Jesus is the hands and feet of wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says this, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Started the scripture this evening with the scripture, the principal thing is wisdom. Godly wisdom. We need to focus upon Jesus. We need to focus upon his word. One last scripture and then I'm done. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Good girl. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She was focused upon other things. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here whilst I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. You are worried and upset about things that you shouldn't be worried about, because there is only one thing worth being concerned about, and that is seeking me and knowing my voice and knowing my wisdom. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as you live your daily lives not to be influenced by the media, not to be influenced by the paper, not to be influenced by what people are saying here, there and everywhere, but to be influenced by the word of God. And then when we look to the word of God, we have that wisdom that builds our families, so that our families are strong, so that our relationships are strong, so that our homes are strong, so that our careers are strong, so that our life is strong. And although we might not think that honouring God gets us places, because the way of the world is pushing your way forward, when we honour God, he honours us. And when we seek his wisdom, we know his will, and we believe what he says. And when we believe what he says, that faith accomplishes what it was, that word accomplishes what it was designed to accomplish in the first place. Let's pray. Father, we want to be people who are people of your word. People who base their lives upon what you say. Not even what preachers say. Not even what the papers say or politicians or anybody else says. But upon what you say. We want to make that the principal thing. And so, Lord, as we are bombarded with this opinion and this idea and that idea, and we're bombarded with choices that we need to make regarding our families, our relationships, regarding our finances, regarding our families and our careers. Lord, when we are faced with those, Father, may we come before you and seek your face and say, Lord, tell me what to do. Tell me what your wisdom is. Tell me what you say about this. And as we follow your wisdom and apply godly wisdom into our lives, we will know our lives blessed. And as we are blessed, we will bless others for your glory. Help us just to make godly wisdom, even this week, the principal thing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.